But we have been living now for a few months. Who would have thought, huh? That we hear so many new words out there and words that have some heavy meanings as far as what are they really meaning when they say these things? And so the one word this past week as I was reading, again, different things taking place, I always got fixated on this word essential. Because we understand now, if nothing else, until those last few months, when you hear that word essential, you know what? It carries a lot of weight, doesn't it? It's like, wow, I never put much thought into it. Oh, that's essential. It's essential for this or whatever. And now with what's going on, you know, we have found out that if you're a business or a company and they deem you not essential, they're going to tell you, well, you can't open up because of this virus. You'll have to wait until we say it's probably okay to be opened. You know, we can get into all kinds of ramifications from that as far as in the natural. But really what I want to look at and what I thank my God about is that he really brought this into my thoughts about essential. This word carries a lot of weight. I've already said that. As one is deemed essential, one other is deemed not essential. So this word, what does this really mean? As we look it up, essential says this, of the utmost importance. Of the utmost importance. Basic. You got to have it. It's just the basic necessities of life. Indispensable. You can't do without it. Necessary. This word essential also has other meanings, or not other meanings, I should say, but other words that synonyms that are the same. So here are some of those. If you're essential, you're all important. You're critical. You're imperative. You're integral. You are must have. Must have. You're needful, you're required, and above all, you're vital. Now, look at those thoughts and those words and what they mean. And my word for today is this: God is essential in our lives, in your life, in my life. He's essential to those out in the world that are lost from him. They just don't realize they're lost from him. And hopefully by prayer, by the Spirit, by spreading of the gospel, they will receive his word and that they will come to him. And we pray that day in and day out for the lost. But they are so blinded and hardened sometimes by the world and what's taking place. But for us as children of God, I'm pretty sure, here again, I'm speaking to the choir, you know, that you already know that God is essential in your life, I believe. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. But, amen. If you believe that God is essential in your life, tap your horn. Amen. 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 I mean, I thought the other way if we can, you know, praise the Lord is just razor wiper blades. You know, but yay, praise the Lord. Oh, we've got to be innovative in these days. But getting back to how essential is and how it dictates so much in our natural life, I thought it very interesting how God brought it to my thoughts that he says, Tim, I am essential for life as well. Then, of course, I already said, well, yeah, God, I've figured that out. But, you know, let's put more understanding to that, okay? So before we get to that, we understand God is essential in my life. Amen. Here's a couple of quotes about the thoughts of God. Number one is this: we need God as much in the calm as in the storm. I know, looking around, that there's people in the calm, and I know that there's people in the storm. But guess what? We both need God no matter what we're going through. The second quote says something this way, that may I never forget that on my best day, I still need God as desperately as I did on my worst day. May I never forget that on my best day, my very best day, I still need God as desperately as I did on my worst. What that tells me is that he's with us and I want him with me at all times. And that I always want to see him in my life and in what I'm taking place in and what's going on. And I know that he is there in the good and in the bad. I got to be careful here. I might be, excuse me. I may think I've got to yell so that you can hear me, but I realize you're listening on your radio and you can turn the volume up if you really need to. So all of a sudden it's like, man, thank you, Lord. I'll try to not shout as much, I guess. I'm just getting excited, too. It's almost like being down in the sanctuary by myself. I told my wife, getting ready to come out here today, I said, I'm a little nervous. I said, I was getting kind of used to speaking to empty chairs. But then I was getting excited because we get to gather a little bit here and do what we can do by just seeing one another in our cars. Well, I want you to go ahead. If you got your Bible, go to Acts 17. When you get to Acts 17, I'm going to go to 24 and 27. Book of Acts, chapter 17. Now we find this. This is where Paul is standing in the midst of Mars Hill, and he is saying this in 22. It starts, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." Wow. "And for as I was passing through, and I considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription on it, to the unknown God." Isn't that sad today? There's probably a lot of people out there that they're worshiping something, but they're worshiping an unknown God, or they're worshiping a false God. But it said this in that inscription, "to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship," Paul says, "without knowing him, I proclaim to you." And that's the part of our messages that go on day and day, is that we want to proclaim the God to them that is there for them. And that goes on. And now 24 to 27 is where I want to narrow in a little bit and kind of break out from that. So in Acts 17, 24, "God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in the temples made with hands." Well, it says right there, Paul is saying that the world and everything in it, God made it. Amen. "Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." He gives to all life, breath, and all things. Verse 26, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." I believe as we look at that, this in our life is a pre-appointed time. God knew this situation was coming up. When we pass through this, 6 months down the road, whatever the case might be, other things come about in our life, other things come about in your life personally and family or whatever the case might be, is we have already understand that these things are pre-appointed. These things are coming, and though God has put them in place. Now, I'm not saying God has put, you know, the death upon us and curses and things of that nature. No, but God knows these times that we live in, these trying times that we're all going to experience, and they will continue to be trying times and tribulations and processes of what's going on in this life, but we've got a much greater hope in that of Christ and knowing that the coming back of him. But we're going to live through this. We're going to shine through this. We're going to be strong through these things that take place in the natural by that of always knowing that God is essential in my life. And then it goes into verse 27, "so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope or reach for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us." Now you get to that word grope. You think of that in our times, usually at night, you know, and you're trying to find something on the nightstand, or you go to the kitchen or to the restroom or whatever, and you don't turn any lights on, you kind of know where something is at, but you can't see it because it's dark. So what do? You just begin to kind of start groping for it, start feeling for it, and you know somewhere you're going to come in contact with it. Well, that's the same thing here, as they might grope for him and they will find him. It tells us this, that if people will just begin to look for God, what are they going to do? They're going to find God, aren't they? And that's exciting. It's not us having to do that. We've just got to point them to him and realize, or make them realize, the essentiality of God. God is essential in your life. We need to just point them to him, and they begin to start feeling around, and they latch a hold. Amen. Latch a hold of him into their life, and they begin that walk with him like most of us, or many of us, are doing today. Amen. "Though he is not far from each one of us." You know, back before we were saved, he really wasn't that far from us. We have family members that are going opposite of the things of God. They're really not that far from God. Do you realize that? They're not that far from him. They've not connected to him on their own personal plane. They are still living out their will, but we know and understand by God's word what Paul is saying here, but no one is too far from God. Do you believe that? No one is outside the reach of God. We don't live in a defeated atmosphere or a defeated attitude that, oh, well, they're too far gone. You know, we might find that in natural where man might say those things like, well, you know, they're at this age. Let them go. There is this time happening in their life. Let them go. Whatever the case might be. But no, in the things of life and God, it's like, no, they're not too far from God. Wow. Find rest in that. And then I've got to end with this. I have to continue with this because I like this in 28. It just says, for what? For in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offsprings. Offsprings. Well, interesting. So with this thought process, I want to go back to verse 25. I focused a little bit on it, but it talks about he gives life, breath, and all things. Let's look at that word breath. Look at breath, and quickly, I'm just going to kind of skim through a few scriptures here. Genesis is where we find that, talking about breath. So I go to Genesis 2:7. You can turn there if you would like, but I will read it for you. But it says in Genesis 2:7, now, you know, the seventh day has come. God looked at his work. It is done. He has rested on the seventh day from all of his work, and then he blessed that seventh day. He sanctified it. And then we get down into verse 7 where he says this, and then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Up until that time, man was not breathing. They were not living, but God breathed into his nostrils that breath of life. That's why I say, folks, even those that are lost and don't have any relationship to God, they've got a DNA of a part of God in their makeup, and that's how, by that of their spirit and by the Holy Spirit, can begin to minister into them as we provide words, as we provide encouragement, as we provide fellowship or trying to share the good news with them. We do realize and understand that it's not that all of a sudden they go, hey, I'm going to accept Jesus because, you know, Pastor Tim said he ought to do that. No, they begin to accept him because all of a sudden their spirit man begins to be enlightened by that of the Holy Spirit, begins to stir within them, and they're saying, oh, there's something to this, or, oh, I need something more than what I've got. And we all know God has more than what we need. Amen. God has more of what we need. God is essential for each and every one of us. So anyway, it talks about this, that, and the Lord God formed man. And that's why us guys have a lot of dirt sometimes behind our ears. That's why little boys get dirty, I guess, you know. It's just DNA nature of us that we get in the dust and the dirt. And I know there's been some young ladies out there that probably did the same thing. So that's why we have that ring around the collar, okay? So that is talking about breath. And what we find here, that breath, that word, this is how man took his first breath, aided entirely by the Creator. Think of that, folks. Our first breath breathed to us was by that of our Creator, the Creator, who shared his own breath with us, or with him. So God literally taught man how to breathe. Our very life and worth comes from God's Spirit. Now we find this quickly in Psalms 150, verse 6. I'm not going to turn there. I just wrote it down here because it came to mind this morning as I was kind of reflecting on this. But Psalms 156, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's why we do a lot of praise. That's why we raise our hands. That's why we want to praise and shout to the Lord. Lift up your voice. Oh, hallelujah. Everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now we can continue on this path of breath. We're looking at the essentialness of God. From the very get-go, we already know he was essential. Look at where we're at today. Look at the earth. Look what how it's been formed. But if I go to Isaiah 42:5, and again, this will be recorded and on the website as well if you want to reflect back on it and listen to it again. Feel free to and go through the scriptures. Isaiah 42:5 says this, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens, and he stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it." Just let those words sink in as you read that. As they're sharing there that God created the heavens and the earth, he gives breath to the people. His spirit is in those that walk upon it. We can get into Daniel. Again, talks about this breath and things of that nature. Daniel 5:23. Talk about the writing on the wall explained, and it's like the Belshazzar's feast. But in 5:23, it says this, 5:23, "And you have lifted or exalted yourselves up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house, the temple." And this is where they took these things and they began to use them in a wrong way. And they should have been honored and respected. "But they brought the vessels of his house, the temple, before you. And you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised," what? "The gods of silver and gold." You know, we look at other things in our lives today. Maybe it's not silver and gold, but what are you possibly placing before that of God and the things that God has set forth? But anyway, let's continue on. "And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, and that which do not see or hear or know, and the God who holds your" what? "Holds your" what? "Breath in his hand and owns all of your ways, you have not glorified." God holds our breath. God breathed into man in the very beginning. Man's first breath was that of his creator. Today we need to continue on this understanding that God holds our breath in his hands. That we've got to honor that. We find this interesting in what we're finding here. We find this verse is after Belshazzar, he used the cups from the temple for his own party. You know, these things that were party from the temple. Oh, hey, let's party with them. Let's use his plates and saucers and his cups and whatnot. But God condemned him for doing this. For us today, we must always be careful on how we use the things that are that of God. Now, I look at that as a pastor and looking at the church. It's like the church building and what it's used for. It's, you know, we don't call this building that of God. We don't worship the building, but we do believe God has blessed the building. God has placed his spirit upon this land, his anointing on these 10 acres, and we've got to be mindful of that. And we've got to, as well, anyone in leadership, we've got to understand that this does not belong to any one of us. It belongs to who? God. It's his kingdom here on earth. Basically, it just says, Tim, as a pastor here, you need to respect this place, you need to honor this place, and you need to protect this place from anything that would disgrace it or bring shame upon it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope so, and I think so. And that's pretty well the same thing in our own personal lives, the things that we do, that what are we doing as a example to those around us that see that God in us. We speak highly of God. We confess him as our Lord and Savior. We want to do everything for him. And then 2 days later or something, we do something that is not of God. We begin to cause some things that are not godly to show in our lives. And if I'm a vessel of his, I need to try to do whatever I can, and if I can't for sure do it on my physical abilities, I need to ask for the supernatural, for God to help me do the right thing, the correct thing, to always honor and bring glory to him. Do you believe that for yourself personally? I believe so. I hope so. But we look at the church building, finances for the church, you know, our giving into the kingdom. It all boils down to these things, that these things are God's. God is just loaning them to us. We look at all of it, even your own personal possessions. Yeah, you bought them, but you bought them with income that God gave you, the talent to have a job, to be able to work, to get to produce, to have this and to have that. That's why it's so important. Everything we have, we should understand, belongs to that of God. And we have it because of God's love for us and his blessings to us, that he provides these things to us to enjoy. Amen. But we got to be respectful. We were talking this past Wednesday. We've still been doing our Pastor's Wednesday meetings on prayer and having coffee, but it's all been at our offices individually. The talk began to come out like, well, what's it going to look like when the churches begin to open up? And, you know, this thing with the Supreme Court and all that's going to be changed. What's going to happen? And it was brought up, and I couldn't help but say this, that I said, the only thing I know is this, that whatever we do, we need to honor God. And I said, I would hate to open up too early, or, you know, and we're a small church, but there's churches in town that have larger numbers, and they're looking at different ways they can open and whatnot. I said, but we've got to be mindful and respectful to understand that if something happens, and it says, well, that church had services, and they allowed everybody to come in, and all of a sudden there's sicknesses now coming out of that church, it's going to take a while for the community to say and embrace that of a church or that of God, because they're going to say, I don't want the God that you serve, because evidently you were unwise in what you've done. So I said, I always try to, in my very beginning with God, when I made that step from my secular job into his kingdom, and I always told the people that God has told me to do this, but then I had to go back to God to say, God, if I'm in error, correct me instantly, because I do not, and this is what I told the pastors on that call, I do not want to give you a black eye, because I love my God. I want to respect him, and I want people to look that the God that I serve is a God of wisdom, of direction, and you do abide by sometimes the statutes of the things that are in law. And I'm probably getting on a soapbox here, but I know we think our Christian rights have been taken away, but we're still having words go forth. We're still having church. You know what? It's just a little different. It's not that we can gather together, and that day will come. I know that, and you know that. But we've got to be understanding of these things, and we've got to work back into them. And so God has blessed us with opportunities of ways of doing things. And you know what? A lot of that came out. Then another pastor, he did some thinking and sent out a nice long email, and he said they're really going to play it cautious and safe, you know, doing their thing, as a lot of insight was given, and it all worked out, and it'll all come together. But I'm just saying, we've got to be respectful, and it kind of brings me to this point of that of God, whether it's the church, his finances, or the things that we proclaim of God, we want to be on the right side of God. Amen. All right. If I go back into Acts and quickly look there, Acts 17, on verse 27, it says, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him, that's feel their way toward him, or the New Living would say, and they would find him. And though he is not far from each of us, it's encouraging, that's exciting to me to know and to understand that God is not far from Tim. Oh, hallelujah, because I need him as close. So looking at chapter 17, 27 to 28. God is known in his creation and is close to each of us. But we need to always remember that God is not the creation. Now, isn't that? Listen to that. God is not the creation. He is the what? Creator. Now, we have some groups out there that want to worship the creation, and they call that tree the God. They call that whatever, you know, animal God, or flower, whatever the case might be. You know, we can get into things, and those are all created by the Creator. But this is the thing to keep in mind. God is known in his creation, and that he's close to each of us, but we need to always remember that God is not the creation, but he is the Creator. This means that he is sovereign. You believe that? That God is sovereign? He's in control. Well, look what's going on. There's so many things happening in this world of ours. Yeah, you know what? 20 years ago, 50 years ago, it was 100 years ago, there was craziness and things going on in our land, in our country, in businesses, in government. I mean, wherever you put two people together, man, you're going to have craziness. Don't you believe that? You know, it's just the way it happens. But God is sovereign and he is in control, while at the same time he is close and personal with us. Here is a God that has this magnificent power to put all of this in place, to speak it into existence. Think of that power. You know, they were talking about, we're on the anniversary of the Mount St. Helens volcano that erupted 40 years ago today. How does that make you feel, guys? 40 years ago? Wow. Makes me feel like I'm older. Yeah. But 40 years ago, there has been nothing before that or since that that has ever had the amount of power than that volcano when it erupted and blew out. It said it caused over 220 square miles of devastation of forest just knocked down, trees gone. We can go back and look at pictures of that. You know, you look at that and the power of something like that that took place, that's a lot of power. It had more power than those bombs back in the atomic bomb era of the bombs that were dropped on Japan. That much power was expended at that volcano. Wow. But God is more powerful than that even. It just gives us that thought process to understand the power that God has within him. Remember we talk about meek. You know, we are to be meek, and people think that's to be weak, but the definition of meek is power, but under what? Control. We are meek in his world. We are meek in the kingdom of God, but we're not pushovers. We're not pacifists. We're not going to roll over and play dead. We shouldn't. If God has given us a message, a place, and a direction to go, no, we will be meek, but we will have power that is under control, because here's the next thing, guys. You know this in the natural, that anybody that gets upset and mad and gets so mad, they kind of lose control of their bodily functions as far as, you know, they start shaking, you know. They're going to start, you know, whatever they're going to do, their eyes see red, I don't know. And pretty soon their mind gets short-circuited, you know, and you don't know what you do. It's like, oh, I didn't realize I did that. I was so angry. That's when you've got, you know, power that's not under control. But we are meek. God is a God that has so much power, but he is very personal with us. What matters is that we let the Creator rule in our life. We let the Creator, we let God to be essential in our life, right? Oh, I hope you get this today, the essentialness of God in our lives. The world has a way of saying what's essential, and we need in the kingdom of God to always remember and to know that my God is essential for myself. Quickly go to Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20. As you're getting there, I'll just begin to read, and it says this in Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his external power and Godhead, or the Godhead is that of divine nature or his deity, so that they are without excuse. What we want to look at there is this, that clearly seen, his attributes are clearly, we look at people and we look and say, don't you even see that there is a God? And they look at you like, there's no God. I don't believe there's a God. And you're going, really? How did all this happen? Well, the scientists tell me it was just that big thing boomed in the sky and this all developed somehow, you know? It's like, really? That is way out there, man. It takes more faith to believe in something like the Big Bang taking place to put all this in such a perfect balance than to think that some mighty God of the all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign God that speaks and can speak things into existence and speak them into existence properly. Genesis said after he looked at all he did and done, he says, it is done, it is all well, and I'm glad, it looked good. He was happy with what he existed. I don't know about you, but anything that I've ever blown up as a kid, when I looked at it, and it was that Big Bang thing, you know, back in the days of the 4th of July where you could buy really, like, you know, bottle firecrackers and M80s and things like that. My goodness, put those things in your models or different things of toys you had and blow them up. That is a Big Bang theory when you let an M80 go off in a model. And when I see that model, I don't say, wow, there's a lot of order to that. Look at that. This car turned into 1,000 pieces and they're all in order. No, they're all in disorder. They're out of alignment. They're out of arrangement. That's what a Big Bang theory will do to you. No, God spoke this. God put this all together. Genesis helps us understand that. And then we find in here where Romans is saying, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Oh, my, my, my. Clearly seen. It's looking, in looking at the created world, every person should see the abundant evidence of God's existence and power. I think that looks at us as times that we need to look at these things. And, you know, there's people out there that says the glass is what? Half full. And there's others that say the glass is half empty. There's all those of us that says, hey, look at the beautiful sunrise. What a beautiful day. And others will say, oh, but the sun's going to go down and the darkness is going to come. You know, you have people, I'm pretty sure, in your life that you could probably relate to or you've come across in your life at one time or another, that they always look at the negativity of things. Well, I'm looking at the things because I know that my God created all of this. And yes, you know what? There is chaos taking place right now. I understand it. I see chaos. Are you seeing chaos? Yes, I'm sure you are. But you know what? I see also the evidence of God's existence in everything, and I understand the power that he has, and that's where I'm going to stay close to him because it's essential. I'm going to tell you, it's essential for Tim to stay close to God to get me through what's going on. I don't care if it's this virus. I don't care if it's something that comes down the pipeline 6 months from now. 5 years from now, whatever the case might be, because believe it or not, there will be other things that come our way, but we've got to remain firm and strong in God and to say, God, you are essential. I think a lot of times for us, we see it to the point that, you know what? Remember how I started out that one quote about, I need God as much in the calm as in the storm. There's many of us in the Christian field of his kingdom. How sad it is, but there's many of us that really don't see him or call on him until we are in a problem. And he's there for that. He's got grace and mercy, and he understands, I'm sure. He's God. But I guess I got to understand, it's like, why aren't we crying out to God in the good? Why aren't we crying out when everything is going well? And I'm sure maybe most of us here today are doing that. And thank God for that. That we can look at the most simplest things in our life and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for whatever it is. Bed, when it's cold outside, I don't care if you're hot and thirsty and you can turn the cold tap on your faucet and water comes out and it's cool. And you can say, thank you, God, for the ability for me to live in a place that I am blessed. Are you blessed? Everything, every day that I live, I am blessed. When I lay my head down or when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed because I serve a risen God. I am blessed because I am serving a God that breathed life into my lungs. I'm serving a God that is there and he knows what I need even before I get there. How about that? Jeremiah 23. I want to talk here and just share this scripture here in Jeremiah 23, verses 23-24. And it says this, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord? Well, how would you respond to him if he was asking you that today? You know, hey, Tim, am I a God that is near at hand to you? And I would say, yes. But he goes on, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him? Says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Says the Lord. Fill. Let's look at that word. How I fill heaven and earth. It talks about here to fill up, to be full, to fulfill. To fill, let's look at that. Okay, got off base here. Do I not fill the heaven and the earth, says the Lord. And so we're looking at it, to fill heaven and earth. To fill up, to be full, to fulfill. We look at this, and I want to get to where it says, God promises to fill all the earth with the awareness of his glory. Wow! That's what's exciting for us. For the glory of the Lord has risen. The glory of the Lord has come. The glory of the Lord is shining. And it's going to talk about that where it says, he filled the earth, and heaven and the earth. So let us go. Let's see here. God promises to fill all the earth with his awareness of his glory. You can find that if you want to turn to Numbers 14:21. And it just says this, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Numbers 14:21. I am glad to have God's glory in my life. If you don't have his glory right now, hang on, it's coming. But he'll be there, amen. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The whole earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Janesville, Rock County, your home, you name it, will be filled. We look at Habakkuk 2:14, and it says this, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. You know, that's the next thing. As we pray into these times that we're in for this sickness and the virus and all that's going on, man, they've always been around. But that's what we need in our world today. That's what we need throughout the land, is that the knowledge, okay? The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. We need God's knowledge, but we need his glory more than anything else to fill this place, to take care of what we're going through, to realize that he is there with us, and that he has not left us nor forsaken us. And how we find in Habakkuk 2:14, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that this earth will continually be filled with the knowledge of your glory, his mercy for each and every one of us. That's what it's about. So what matters is that we let the Creator rule in your life, rule in my life. We need to understand that God is essential in my life today. As the world speaks of essential things, every time I believe that you hear that word, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear it over and over and over many times this week through reading it on the news, hearing it on the stations and whatnot as people report to essential, non-essential. I believe when you hear that word essential, that it's going to bring back that understanding. And you already know this. I'm talking to the choir, but you're going to know and understand that what? This is God essential in my life. I need you, God. We find it. I'm going to wrap it up here with just some verses. And you can write them down. Or like I say, this will be on the web. You can listen to it later. But in Job 22:2, can a person do anything to help God? Can even a wise person be helpful to him? Then what's really neat, get into Job 38 and 39, and it just goes through a lot of like where, and I like the one thing it talks about in there. Job is talking to him about the things going through, and God says, well, where were you when I created everything? Remember, he is the creator. How he breathed life into the nostrils of man. The very breath of God helped us begin our first breath of ourselves. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me while I abide in him produces much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. We hopefully understand that apart from Jesus, you know, that we can do nothing. You might survive a while, you might survive a little, but you won't survive very long, and it'll wear you down. Stay in the vine. Hallelujah. Stay in the vine. John 15:16 says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." Here again, John 15:16, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Isn't it great to be the chosen? I tell you what, I'm a chosen child of God. Hallelujah. Psalms 124:7-8. "We have escaped like a bird from the hunter's trap. The trap has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." A few more here and then it'll be over. Philippians 4:19-20. "And my God will supply your need, everyone, according to his glorious riches in the Messiah Jesus. Glory belongs to the God and Father forever and ever. Amen." Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us," "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" He's there helping you, isn't he? Psalms 40:17, "As for me, since I am poor and needy, let the Lord keep me in his thoughts. You are my helper and my Savior. Oh, my God, do not delay." I know many times we think that, God, where are you in this time? Why is it taking you so long? Are you deaf? Do you not understand? Do you not hear my prayers? What is going on? No, he's working on his time, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get out of our time spectrum, and we got to get into his time and trust and rely upon him. Psalms 37:4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Psalms 27:5, last one, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble." "He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me up high upon a rock." Yes, he will. Thank you, Father. As we reflect upon how much we need God in our life, how essential he is, it'll be wonderful as we get back together sometime, but to look at how God has helped us throughout these times. I am so thankful that we are all staying healthy and strong. Amen. It is good to see each and every one here today. This next week, if we need to, I can see a time when we do get back together that maybe those that are still sensitive to coming in, and it could be because of family members or whatever the case may be, but they could even come and sit in the parking lot, and we can still transmit this into the parking lot as well as have those attending in the sanctuary. So there's a lot of possibilities to use this. But as I think back and I think of how my God has been so wonderful to me, I reflect and I think, and I would encourage you, and you probably do, but if you haven't for some time because your mind has been set on other things, would you take some time today even, and you get home or driving home, I just think about what God has already done for you, how he has prepared you, how he has provided for you. And I know there's a lot of struggles. I know there's things that could be a whole lot better in all of our lives. But you know what? The only time it's all going to be all better is when we're at glory, when we go to heaven, when we are called home. And I'm not looking to go there. I know where I'm going when I die. But I don't want to get there any sooner than when God has a time appointed for me to go, because I want to be used by him. I'm sure it's the same for you folks. You want to be used by him. He needs us here to proclaim his word. Don't you agree? And that's why we got to do wise things. That's why we got to protect things. We got to remain strong. We got to go through adversities, but yet still know that God is holding us up, that God is still undergirding us with his strength. That's why the church prays for one another. That's why Tuesday night's been so nice to visit a little bit by video and pray and hear how things are going. So there's always ways to get his word out and to be together. Thank you, Lord. As I think back to that song that we sang, you know, God will make a way. Look at that in your life again. For this service to take place, God made a way. God will make a way for his church. God will make a way for his message to go forth. God will make a way in your life as a couple, your life individually as man and woman. Even as husband and wives, we each go through something different. Even though we're together and as one, we still go through things differently at different times. But God will make a way in our marriages. He will make a way in our single life. He will make a way as we go through things individually. He will be your guide. He will hold you close to his side. It's with his love and strength for what? Each new day. Look at each day that comes about to be expecting good things to come out of it. Amen? And I pray that for all of us. I pray that for the church. It is just a phenomenal thing. You know, as about ready to close down here, and God continues to sustain the church, the operation of it, the things going forth, the being able to maintain the bills and still be able to send our missions offerings each month to those in the mission field, even though they can't go out for some time. Talking to them, they don't know when they're going to be released to be able to get back to the European countries or Africa or Singapore and those countries. But we're still able to sow seed into their ministries to be prepared to go when the opportunity comes. And it's because of the faithfulness of you folks that continue to provide and continue to give. God is so amazing. He is so phenomenal. I would look at things and I would think that, you know, things would be a struggle, but they're not, because God provides, amen? And God is providing for your family as well. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. It's been good. And thank you for coming. We'll plan this again for next Sunday. Thank you again for your faithfulness and for coming. And let me close in prayer and let you be on your way. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, through each one of our lives, individually, we can look and see where you have made a way. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for your hand upon us, upon our household, upon our family, our kids, our grandkids. Lord, we thank you, Lord, as we just pray and intercede for different ones in our understanding of our people that we know that are close to us, even outside our family, that, Father, we can lift them up in prayer and that you hear those needs as well. And I thank you for this day, and I thank you, Lord, for your message that I just feel we need to reflect and understand the essentialness of you in our life, and that you are truly essential for man to continue on. You're essential for this life to go forth. And I pray for these wonderful people here today that you would honor them, Lord. Just bless them. Just be with them, Father. Meet their situations of where they're at. Whatever it may be, Lord, that your hand is upon it in Jesus' name. Lord, again, give traveling mercies and safety as they go about to their homes. Give us a great week this week, Lord. I pray that we can be a blessing to those around us. I pray that we can be a light to those that need to see you, Lord. And, Lord, that we will honor and glorify you in everything that we say and do. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.